Hi, everybody. Welcome to Galactic Healing.
Marita's
here. Tara and Rama are here. Welcome, everybody.
We're glad you're all here.
Welcome.
Well, it's been a wild ride the last couple of days. Lots of news.
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, it's been a wild ride for a couple of weeks with everything going on. And it's for that reason I'd like to change the format a little bit tonight. I'd like us all to open with a meditation. What do you think?
Yes.
Sounds good.
I thought so. We're all going to just get into our centers and relax a little bit together. So I just wrote this meditation this afternoon, and I will record it tomorrow. I think it's a winner. And I asked Mother Sekhmet to come in the middle of the meditation, and she brought in a message. So with that lead in, I hope you can all sit back in your chairs and relax, get into a comfortable position, take some slowed down breaths. And before we start, I will remind you, when we're done with the meditation, we will link up for Q&A. Please do call the station. We do have a lot of exciting news to touch on tonight, but we'll relax first. But if you want to call in after the meditation, the number is area code 415-762-1161. So here we begin. As you enter this meditation, you leave the tonal world and enter the Nagual world. Please allow yourself to take a few deep breaths and slowly disconnect from the world of form. Every time you come here, you experience love frequency and allow your body vibration to speed up its light. Allow the issues of this day to fall away. Have you heard lately the discussions about black versus white and gay versus straight? How does it make you feel? Does your stomach get in a knot? It's okay. Wherever you are today on those issues, we're going to let that go for now. Allow yourself to feel the emotions of that and then release it with a long breath out. Allow your body response to come back to neutral. It is neutrality where we find absence of ego mind and devote ourselves to loving all that is without reservation. Take in a deep breath and release it slowly. And feel your heartbeat slow down a bit and feel yourself relaxed. We're going to take a journey forward in time. We're going to time out of time. We call this place no time. We're going to a place where we all know we are one. We are going to where the magical kingdoms are living free on Earth Mother, and she has been restored to pristine beauty. Now, see pink clouds in a blue sky. The sun is shining, and it feels good. Now take off flying in your avatar body. Fly over the lush green trees below. Feel the wind in your face as you breeze past the floating mountains on your banshee. The misty fog just above the treetops is refreshing. Then again, you feel bright sun on your face. Now jump off and land easily on a giant leaf. Feel the veins of the leaf under your feet. Feel the heartbeat of the tree through its veins. It feels exhilarating to remember the tree is alive, and it communicates bliss with knowing you through the touch sensors and the veins in the bottom of your feet, touching its veins in the green silk of its leaf. You turn then and see you are standing near the tree of soul. Then you see standing there next to the tree of souls is your own twin flame. You are so happy to meet them here. They too are in their avatar body. You walk slowly, feeling the damp moss under your feet. When you take a step, the green moss turns pink from the pressure of your foot. The moss lights up as it is happy to see you. Just then, a small seedling from the Tree of Souls floats near your face. This delights you, and you sigh at the sight of the hair-like tendrils floating, floating, light up like a blue jellyfish. The tiny seed floats lightly, brushing your arm with divine bliss before floating out over the tops of the glowing magenta flowers, and your heart beats a little faster, remembering your connection to all life here. You get closer to the tree of souls and greet your twin flame standing there. Your twin flame takes you by the shoulders, brings their face close to your face. You stare deeply into each other's eyes. The long leaves of the Tree of Souls stretch down to the ground just before you. These leaves glow white, violet, pink, and this light hits the face of you and your twin flame as you embrace. It is silent here except for your breath, and you can hear the tree. You can hear the heartbeat of the tree. The energy here is magnified because the roots of this tree here reach out infinitely over Mother Earth, and you can feel the connection to every mountain peak, every blade of grass, every fish in the sea, just by standing here under this sacred tree. The glowing, swaying leaves light up the gaze of your love as they stare tenderly at you. At this moment, you are filled up completely with joy, with bliss, and with love. You sit with your twin flame under the Tree of Souls now, and Mother Sekhmet comes to join you and sits next to you. Mother Sekhmet says, "Greetings, children of Ra. To come back to this place is to come back to our origins together on Earth. This is a place where the magical kingdoms are free to be as they are unhindered. The planets grow in harmony with each other. You may sip the rain from the end of a giant leaf when you are thirsty. When you are hungry, fruit is abundant at your feet. Energy is something that is borrowed and must be returned. Life flows in and out and in as a pulse. Energy flows as naturally as the sun rising. It flows from one tree to the next and on, circling the globe. The flying ones, the crawling ones, and the swimming ones live together as one. Here, the dreamwalkers know peace, and hearts overflow with radiant love for all life forms. Drink in this time together. Allow Mother Earth's pulse flow through your veins soar above the treetops, through the mountains, and be one with all that is. Rise up into your light bodies. Float up higher and higher through the dimensions until you are a ball of light. Come together with your twin flame, who is a ball of light beside you. Overlap and merge your light together, making a rainbow ball of white light. Float on into the sun and float through the bubble in the sun. There you merge with Mother Sekhmet and Father Alcyone as one, one light. They read your desires and answer your calls, and you float back together to the Tree of Souls, where all on earth is one. You know this merge with each other and with the great central sun has you lifted to a place of infinite bliss. You take this feeling as you fly back through the misty floating mountains, back into your body, back to your spot on this timeline. Please visit this place in meditation again and again until it is your reality and you come to a place where all time is no time. Blessing. Thank you, everybody. I hope that it has everyone a little more peaceful, a little more relaxed, and in a better space. And now we can all join together and talk about the events of the day and what's going on, and talk more about the magical kingdoms tonight together. So tonight I have some announcements and things, but Rama and Tara, Marita, if you'd like to join me for the news first, that would be great.
Okay.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here. I guess I better.
You're elected.
Yeah. Well, what I have heard from Tom Hartman to Randy Rhodes to Jack Rice today, everybody is just saying that the Syrian commander is doing what he said he would do when he put his hand on Abe Lincoln's Bible and bring this country back to a republic as we are keeping it right here, right now. And what is being said on the other levels, I hate to stray into those realms after all of what you shared, Beth. It's like, take a deep breath and call in your neutral energies and that higher dimensional self, because
exactly
the news is what it is out there, and Keith and Rachel and Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes, Jack Rice, all of these whistleblowers are saying it in the way they can say it, that this guy, Obama, is the man, and it has nothing do with the spin that's being placed on him by these so-called other side of the aisle, as I would like to be respectful and say, like Bernie Sanders says, on our friends on the right, they have got it all wrong.
That was funny. Our friends on the right got it all wrong.
Well, he's always polite, Bernie Sanders, and with great respect. And he said, Mitch McConnell, you need to take a powder, and you need to maybe talk to your mortician, because that the white face is getting a little too white in that sense, because the Walking Dead are the Walking Dead here, and all of what is being said out there, you know, Obama is not a communist, he's not a racist, he doesn't want to kill your grandmother or send you to the place in which where the fascists, the communists are taking over. All of this is spin that is coming from the right side of the aisle, where they have nothing except the lies that go back to the morning of 9/11. And Jack Rice began his show this afternoon talking about that. And I was surprised to hear him. I expected to hear Ed Schultz, but Jack Rice popped up.
Well, Ed Schultz came on Keith tonight and spoke his mind.
And Jack Rice was, interestingly enough, he talked about, you know, the Yemen story. And this ties in with what we've all been looking at on
the website. Thank you, Beth, for putting up that little Stargate so clearly.
And thank
there.
You, Steve. Thank you, Steve, out there on YouTube. I looked at your page. I love it. And
I do, too.
I just got to say, you know, keep it coming, dude. The reality in which what is being said, like KOS has said, we are doing this with peace. Now is the time for peace. And it has to do with, you know, the story that's being laid out in Lavender about the empire that's in ruins, and love these ones even more. I can't say it too many times because they're
going through their
conniptions.
Well, they're going through accountability conniptions.
And it's serious as a heart attack. I spoke with Rana Moo today, and not to change it so quickly, but Jack Rice, he was talking about this, all of it, and the story of Yemen. And it has nothing to do with oil or terrorists. It has everything to do with the Stargate of the Gulf of Aden and these portals that are opening up all over the planet. And I suspect the Al-Aqsa Mosque in, you know, the Dome of the Rock, all of a sudden, when the certain signal is given, you know, that the rocks, all of what looks like dirt within the Al-Aqsa Mosque will disappear, and you will see a Stargate, just like in Stargate SG-1.
Mm-hmm.
And you can travel.
Well, and that Stargate in the Gulf of Aden, that's what has everything to do with why they're going after Yemen right now.
And Somalia. And
because Yemen's a false flag. It's all a big story. None of it's true.
That's right.
And it has to do with our ancient brothers and sisters that came from Nibiru. The story of Pandora, Avatar, is our story. This is what Rana Moo was telling me today, as all the timelines erase themselves into one timeline, and we heal this once and for all for everyone, all the way out to 175 million years into the future. We're getting it done. And it was no accident James Cameron came up with this movie, and at the same time, I'm not trying to play too much into it, but at the same time, how do you tell this story about the pants that are on fire? And it's not about the underpants bomber or the shoe bomber or these people in New York.
What they are is Barack is calling out the Democrats in his meeting, and he's saying, as well as the Republicans, he said to the Republicans, you know, it's time to govern, and you can't govern by saying no to everything. You've got to govern. And the same thing with the Democrats. He's just saying, you can't just not do anything. You've got to govern.
Yeah, stop complaining and get it done and get the legislation first and foremost. You know, Tom Hartman ranted on this today in the first hour. He had a right-wing guy on who was talking about Ahmadinejad and Iran and how they, you know, he was saying that if Obama wants to save his presidency, we should bomb Iran. And Tom Hartman in the first hour literally told this guy he was nuts and hung up on him. And
yesterday there was a real bigot on his show, and he told him, he said, your bigotry is, it's abrasive to me, and if you don't want to get a busy signal in your ear, don't call anymore.
That's right. It's getting polarized in the place where the fake war on terror is just that. It is so ridiculous and
and ridiculous?
Yeah.
Okay, Rama, I have a question about this, though.
Yes.
Okay,
all of us listening are pretty savvy about the news. Thanks to you guys and everyone working together, and we bring each other the news all the time. And we've all seen the difference since the State of the Union address and the address to the Republicans 2 days later and all that. There's been this huge shift where it feels like President Obama is empowered to ask for what's needed now. So from your perspective, what did you see? What happened? We saw him before that kind of being silent, hanging back and handing these guys their own rope, kind of. I mean, that's a little rough, but pretty true. So there was a shift. So what happened exactly?
Well, I want to play just a few minutes of something, and I'll show you what happened.
And before that, I just want to say what it has to do with what Rana Moose said today is all the timelines are converging into one. This is how we get Nasara announced and heal the timelines right now. And the exposure of the Stargates and the stories that are coming out. And Wolf Blitzer in the last few days reported on CNN talking about full disclosure and the craft and the stories about the three spherical ships that were around the sun. And did they enter the sun? And is the sun in of itself a stargate? Think about that one.
Absolutely. And the sun, remember, in 1999 on April 22nd, Ashtar took two of his sun cruisers and a staff of commanders, and they hurled two balls of light the size of Venus each into the sun.
And changed it.
And those balls of light were helium-based molecules, and the sun up until that point was a hydrogen-based molecule because in the Orion War, they caused us to fall from
grace.
And that's just brothers and sisters of ours.
It's like in the story of Pandora, different factions finding fault with each other with the sky people and the stories of who to trust, who not to trust. How do you trust your brothers and sisters? You got to trust what you feel in your heart. Think with your heart, not your head. And how that works is the exposure that's going on right now that goes to the level which they hid this story from us, which is of the Moorish nation and the people that were originally here, that came from Nibiru, that came through Pangaea, Lemuria, Atlantis, and they were all black. And it's got to do with this original story, the Moorish nation, and they don't want us to know this.
Which is us. We were the black folks.
And we're back. And
even though we got white skin, at a soul level, we came into the white skin energy to bring it back to wholeness.
Yeah, and this is related to why the color of blue skin, why the color of brown or green. It's all the 12 rays, all the 144,000 rays of living light, living love, the strands in the great tree of life. And this relates to how all the stories are coming back to wholeness and balance, and the exposure that's going on, what Jack Rice is saying, what Randy Rhodes, I mean, oh my God, she went all the way back to Joe Pyne, if people remember that. There are maybe a few out there, and I'm, 56 going on 20.
Well, tell them who Joe Pyne is.
He was a right-wing whack job, just like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and Glenn.
And he was basically wanting to kill JFK, right?
That's right.
So this is Rush Limbaugh's, he wants to kill JFK now. And that brings me to Randy Rhodes again, because Randy Rhodes said again today, she said, anybody that is aligning with any kind of teabagger energy, you better be careful, because the teabagger energy, they want it, and they are absolutely behind this, they want to kill Barack Obama. And what that means is that they are guilty of high treason. I remember this when I was being brought up Catholic and I had to go to my first confession. They said, if you think about it, it's as equal as if you did it.
And that brings in that movie, Minority Report, where, in the future, Tom Cruise, they had these police that if you're even thinking about a crime before you do it, they're going to get you. And 1984, George Orwell, we're not going to that place yet. We are. And something interesting happened today that was on Laura Flanders, which totally blew my mind when I saw it. And this is not being reported on any news except Free Speech TV.
You want to?
Yeah, you should play this, because this is telling the truth like it is.
Well, it started on Saturday. Everybody went, how come Jeb Bush and George Bush Sr. went to the White House
to sign off on the accounts? And
the accounts we're talking about are those 160 trustee note accounts of the Wantamitterin Fund, which we were told that those guys would never see a dime of it, because they were working in behalf of the dark side called Bush Sr., and little Jebby Bush went along for the ride.
And he looked like he'd seen Mother when he left.
And so everybody's going, I thought these dark ones would never sign off on anything like that. And guess what? They did. And now on this Laura Flanders piece, it's just a few minutes, it goes over Bill Clinton, the real Bill Clinton, went down to Haiti.
And he looked like he was crying his eyes out.
Yeah, and he was admitting to the truth, and then after that they went to London to the Queen of England, who is also having had to testify before that tribunal over there, just like Tony Blair. And
they're getting her out of the box for that?
Oh, my God, it's a trip.
She had her royal robe on, sitting on the fake stone of scone.
And remember, that's a hologram.
On the throne with her crown, and she looked pretty scared, and Mr. Gordon Brown and all these other British MPs were looking pretty nervous, because she basically came right out and said, I am guilty of war crimes.
Yeah, let's listen.
We love them even more.
Yes, okay.
Love them.
Okay. You guys, wait, I'm really excited to hear the Laura Flanders piece, but wait one second.
I want to make a comment, and then I want to let Big Will ask a question, because he's already on the line, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But my comment is that when Randy Rhodes was talking about that, she wasn't only talking about high treason. She had caught wind of people who were making conference calls, and all they were talking about on the calls were white supremacist stuff and stirring up negative thoughts and also making plans against anything in the government which has to do with, you know, President Obama, and all these insinuations, no matter how mild or moderate that they are, they are punishable by law, and these people will be found. That's what I understood Randy Rhodes was talking about today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she said that, you know, what you're doing is threatening the president, and this is like attempted murder. It's not cool. And it is a major felony. You can go to jail for this forever or
a long time.
Yeah. And
okay, so let's play this now.
My Big Will first.
Okay, wait, one thing. Yeah, there you go, Big Will.
Line one, Big Will.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Hi.
Hello, Commander.
Okay, listen, 6 weeks ago, we had a young man from Michigan who told us about the Detroit Stargate. And my question is for either Rama or Beth. The Stargate that's deactivated, will that ever be activated? I pass the talking stick.
Oh, the circle that's in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that that circle, it's fully functional, and at the right time, Ashtar will activate that Stargate, and the people of Detroit are going to get a wake-up call. It's going to be...
The Stargates are... all activated, and they only respond to love.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's appropriate to call on the energies of a specific Stargate, the Syrian commander who sits on the Council of Nine will collaborate with Lady Master Nada and her twin flame, the King of Swords / Sananda Kumara on the planet, and Saint Germain, and Mother.
Yep.
And the job gets done.
Okay, so say what happens then, now that they're all activated and someone approaches it with love, then what are people going to experience then?
What they're going to experience as they step onto the platform of the gate, the dial will activate, just like in Stargate SG-1.
What's the dial?
All the different symbols of the gate and the different glyphs or the chevrons will light up, and they will activate and glow. And they will dial in an address across the galaxy. And what will happen is that you will see the gate open up where it will look all of a sudden like, you know, there, you know, you can see, you know, right through it. And then all of a sudden it will become opaque and it will look like a vertical pool of water. And you can actually, like Dr. Daniel Jackson, go up to it, put your finger into it, and pull it out. And it will be looking like taffy or putty. And as you put your hand through it, you instantly go through that gate,
mm-hmm.
30,000 light years across the galaxy.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's not painful. It is incredible. It's like ecstasy merging with your twin flame.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can speak personally for myself and say that when I'm able to do this now, not with all the Stargates, but through certain ones. And when people say, you know, well, you and Mark write about these travels to these far out places, I can go out of body 4 and 5 light years away, as far as I know, without a craft in my light body. And Mark and I traveled to these places, saw what was there, and brought it back. And the way we do that is by going through Stargates. And we have experienced that.
Yes, I have as well. And I hope that answers your question, Big Will.
Okay.
Laura Flanders.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Thank you. I have more news I'd like to talk about after Laura Flanders.
Okay.
Okay. I got to back it up now because I started it.
Sorry.
Okay. Just a minute. Got to back up a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Well, coming up here from us, first this from the Yes Men at Davos.
This earthquake was an equal opportunity destroyer. You know, you have been here long enough. I missed that last time around. You know, some of the wealthiest capital in the country was totally sent down. And that, as tragic as it is, means we have a chance to rebuild the country together, to get people together in a way they never have been.
Are the problems in Haiti in part due to your political policies when you were president?
Yes, it's very difficult to say that now to people who loved ones have been killed. But Haiti was a house of cards that we built through a history of exploitive economic policy, which has been revealed by this natural disaster. And now we have a chance to rebuild a more independent society from any exploitation, forgiving their debt, and bringing back real sustainability. So we can do all that now, and I'm going to try.
Be honest, how long before you realized that Bill Clinton was saying things that he doesn't usually say? That can only mean two things. Bill Clinton has started watching Grit TV, or the Yes Men are up to their antics again. As the World Economic Forum was winding down in Davos this year, more than a few visitors to what looked like the forum's website found videos like that of world leaders calling out their own country's crimes.
Yes.
The Yes Men, the political merry pranksters famous for disguising themselves as the world's elite, decided once again to remake this year's World Economic Forum. Here is Queen Elizabeth, yesified.
My lords and members of the Economic Forum, my government's overriding priority is to ensure the stability of the Crown's landholdings taken in colonial economic dominance. My landholdings are essential in ranking me as the very richest individual today. The source of our financial treasure was a violent plundering of the Southern Hemisphere. Going forward, legislation will commence to allocate some of my lands to ensure fairer, more just distribution for those victimized and to improve the livelihoods of the world's poor.
That's it.
What? You're kidding me. What was that?
That was Bill Clinton first, and the noise in the background, he was in Haiti at the time.
And they were showing some pretty horrendous scenes.
Yeah, and he was talking, and this, he was saying that his country was responsible for the conditions that Haiti was in before the earthquake.
Yeah.
And he said it was really hard for him to talk about this at this time, yet it was time to talk about it. And then Laura Flanders came on and said doesn't take much for you to realize that Bill Clinton was saying stuff that he wasn't used, you know, you weren't used to hearing leaders of any world leader say at all. And then she went and she said, you know, the Yes Men were disguising themselves
as looking like the elite, and they got in on the they had their big ears in there, and they had their cameras in there, and they had their sound and lights, and there goes now, let's listen to the Queen. You want to hear that again?
It sounded like she said she's giving away her land so for the benefit of the poor of the world. What?
Correct.
Okay, we're going to play that one piece one more time. Just a second. This is too cool. Okay. Just a second. Okay, here we go.
You have
be honest, how long before you realized that Bill Clinton was saying things that he doesn't usually say? That can only mean two things. Bill Clinton has started watching Grit TV, or the Yes Men are up to their antics again. As the World Economic Forum was winding down in Davos this year, more than a few visitors to what looked like the forum's website found videos like that of world leaders calling out their own country's crimes. The Yes Men, the political merry pranksters, famous for disguising themselves as the world's elite, decided once again to remake this year's World Economic Forum. Here is Queen Elizabeth, yesified.
My lords and members of the Economic Forum, my government's overriding priority is to ensure the stability of the Crown's landholdings taken in colonial economic dominance. My landholdings are essential in ranking me as the very richest individual today. The source of our financial treasure was a violent plundering of the Southern Hemisphere. Going forward, legislation will commence to allocate some of my lands to ensure fairer, more just distribution for those victimized and to improve the livelihoods of the world's poor.
Did you hear it?
I heard it. Now, okay, seriously, I'm going to get so many emails, Rama. We know that we come on. First
yes.
of all, what I understand, Marita says yes, her too. Now, let's be very serious here. That was a recording that was filmed at Davos in Switzerland at the World Economic Summit, right?
That's right.
Now, let's keep this established, what Mark worked so hard to establish. The Queen of England, on November 21st, 2009, the King of Swords, reported to us, or was it the King of Egypt, or both, that the palace was surrounded by the British soldiers, and they were the King of Swords men. And inside was a meeting happening, and the Queen of England was in a box. And we know that she's a hologram, and so the one speaking at Davos was a hologram. Now, was that a programmed speech? How does it work?
I would say that courtesy of the Yes Men, who are the new merry pranksters. Like,
okay, hold on right there. What does that mean? Tell everyone.
Yeah, tell everybody who the merry pranksters
are. Back in the 60s, the merry pranksters, Ken Kesey and the merry pranksters, if you remember, they were part of the hippies and the folks that were speaking out, the whistleblowers talking about the Vietnam War and creating a bit of what was called nonviolent civil disobedience in the mm-hmm. sense like Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky and Dr. Daniel Berrigan getting in the streets and just saying, enough, I want peace and I want it now. And what this represents, the Yes Men, they are the present 21st century merry pranksters that have the ability with the internet and technology.
No, not just that. They were able to have the White Knight's help. The King of Swords and his men got them into the economic forum so that they could film this. You should see. They had Gordon Brown. He looked like he just saw a ghost.
Yes.
And all the parliamentarians, the bad ones, were standing there around him, and they all looked the same. They were horrified at the Queen saying, this is, and I remember we were staying with the Bell Ringers. This was in 2003. Let me think. And it was at the World Economic, the World Economic Forum was going on. That year it started like on the 23rd of January and went to about the 27th or something. And so we had the World Social Forum that occurred at the same time. And that was down in Brazil, in Porto Alegre, Brazil. And 100,000 people from every country in the world gathered there. And the reason they had it there is because the Western leadership of the world, the elite, it wasn't safe to do it anywhere there. So they did it exactly where the Queen of England said she apologized. That basically she was saying, sorry, folks, but we committed genocide in the Southern Hemisphere.
And we got to deal
and,
with it.
And at the end of that World Social Forum, Arundhati Roy got up there. And everybody listened. It was, you know, to the whole Bell Ringer family gathered, and we listened to this 17 minutes of it, I believe it was. At the end, she said, these are our baby killers. And they must be put down, and that, you know, it's time to gather and rise up and create this movement politics.
Based on healing these issues.
You know, we're going to go look for that and see if we can pull it up
and
again.
Loving
these ones even more for their crimes, because they, as we love them and do the Ho'oponopono, they get it in the cells, and they have to come back to wholeness.
And the violet flame.
Yes, and this is why Gordon Brown looked like he saw Mother there, because he did, in a sense. And
I think it was 2007, the year before last, that finally we got to have a World Social Forum in the United States. It was down there in Atlanta, Georgia, which is the RIAD station. That means that's where all the money transactions are tallied for everyday transactions, and then they're sent to RIAD, Saudi Arabia, where the central bank is located of the world. And so for the World Social Forum to choose that place had no mistake. And because they're going against these economic treasonous policies that are going on. And I think Karen Stewart, yeah, she got to go to the whole thing, or most of it.
Okay. We have someone with a question, but I just want to get completion on this, this message with the Queen. So, We know from what Mark told us that these holograms are programmed from somewhere, and eventually they're all going to be turned off. So was that actually a hologram speaking? Was it a double? What was that?
I would say it was a hologram.
The Queen Elizabeth has been a hologram since she was killed in, I think, March of last year.
Right. That's what we have out on the website. So why is she changing her talk now to this?
Because she is no longer in charge. They're broke, and the light has won, and Ashtar's taken over.
This is why Wolf Blitzer, I got sent this email talking about how Wolf Blitzer had a, you know, they reported on a press conference talking about the three spherical ships that entered the sun. And at the sun, is it a stargate? Of course.
And the sun behind the sun is another stargate, and it's called Helios and Vesta, which are master beings.
The solar logos of this spiritual hierarchy.
And actually, those two are Sananda Kumara's parents, Helios and Vesta. And it's also located at the 10th doorway in the teachings of Solf and the Hermetic Principles, of which there are 13 doorways. And that 10th doorway matches up with the 13th constellation that everybody didn't deal with in astrology all these years. And it's called Ophiuchus. And Ophiuchus is the only constellation that has a man in it. And the man, it's represented there. That man is mankind is on the path of Saint Germain. So that constellation represents anybody who is an Ophiuchian, November 30th to December 17th every year. They are coming here with a mission to be Saint Germain in this lifetime.
Yep.
That means to be the ray of the violet ray, to be the divine alchemist that leads the way and teaches everybody else that they're all divine alchemists. So that's an interesting connection here. It's in that 10th doorway, the parents of Helios and Vesta. And then behind that, they're called the sun behind the sun, Sol, our sun. And then the sun behind that is the great central sun, Lord Alcyone, Lady Master, Mother Sekhmet's consort, twin flame. And that's what we all are as ancient Lemurians. We are the children of ancient wisdom of the ancient one of the sun. Does that help?
One of the things that I've got a lot of emails about, people are talking about Haiti, the information that's on the internet about the cables that were transferring money, and that was one of the reasons that that was one of the things that happened, that that was disrupted. Can you comment on that?
Hey, Seth.
Yes, Beth, this is Seth.
Stuff or what?
Hello?
All right, this is Seth at BBS, and we are back on the air.
Okay.
Okay, so where did we get cut off, and what do we need to say again so everybody can hear us?
I think you've been off the air for just about a minute and a half.
Okay.
Seth, do we have callers waiting on the line, Seth?
We do have one caller waiting, yes.
Who is that?
Laura from Seattle.
Marita, can we hold on for just 1 second and get Laura? She's been waiting.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Thanks, Marita. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying, I'm a little confused because I've watched the Yes Men, movies, and I know they do impersonations, and so because I can't see what you're seeing, it makes it sound like that they were pretending like they were Clinton and the Queen.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Uh-uh.
Okay, they weren't.
No.
No.
That's what all my questions are about.
What do the yes men have to do with it if they didn't do that?
What's that?
What do the yes men have to do with it if they didn't impersonate anybody?
Well, they actually are a double agency that worked for the King of Swords.
What they did was they were able to break
into the footage in the Davos of Switzerland archives, which were not being shown anywhere else on TV, and they pulled it in onto the internet, and then Laura Flanders went there and showed it on her show this morning on Grit TV.
Yep.
And that means that they actually did something to break the hold on the communication lines that these dark ones thought they had. Too late.
Okay, that makes it a lot clearer.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you, yes, man.
Yay, the yes man. Bravo.
Marita, did you have some questions? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying some of the emails and questions that I've been receiving that people wanted me to ask were about in Haiti. There's been a lot of communication on the internet about some cables that were there that the dark were using.
Uh-oh, you got lost.
Transfer money.
Marita, you're breaking up.
And that this may have been disrupted.
Marita, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Okay.
Here, let me just repeat what Marita said, okay? Marita said that her emails... Wait one second, Marita, because you're still breaking up. She said that the emails she's getting have to do with the cables that were from the banks, that they were transferring funds, and people are asking questions about these funds getting interrupted. Is that right, Marita?
Yes.
Okay, what funds that are being transferred? Do you know about them, Ronald?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, Marita. Can you be more specific about that information about funds being transferred?
Well, the information that was sent to me was that there were cables from Haiti that they were using that as a relay place to send these funds overseas.
What funds?
Evidently, I think some of the things from all the trading and all of this funds that they wanted to hide.
Oh, and they were sending them overseas where?
I don't know. It was just the fact that the cables were disrupted and that's what caused that to be broken up. That the earthquake actually caused that to not be working for them.
Oh, goody. That means they didn't get to do what they were going to do and they didn't get to hide anything. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just verifying if you know anything about it and if that is truth.
I don't know. Rama, do you?
What I can say is off the air today, I got to talk to Jack Rice. I called him up, and he said, yeah, that they are trying to funnel money and trying to desperately deal with paying China off because they know that China is calling them out on all of the debt, and at the same time, there's all this weird saber rattling going on, and it has to do, you know, with the fact that China has to be paid, and it has everything to do with ending the Federal Reserve right now.
Well, I gotta say something else about that idea that China quote unquote, has to be paid. Let's look at this, because what did China do? They lent the wealthy white people a whole pile of money in 1933.
Which white people?
Hitler and FDR.
Germany and United States. Any place else?
That was World War II. It was Germany against the United States. That war never ended.
Right.
That's why the German Deutsche Bank has always been owned by Bush Sr. ever since.
Right.
Remembering that Bush Sr. is a Nazi from Germany, born there. And his name is Scherf. And his father was the personal accountant for Nikola Tesla. And Nikola Tesla was 100% controlled by Hitler. Do you see what happened? Because what Nikola Tesla already had were at least 100, he had patented them, technologies that none of World War II would have ever had to happen ever. And they were looking for a way to suppress the human population and to reduce the human population to under 2%. And they've been trying to do that ever since 1892, when they create the Omega Agency in the first place. And Bush Sr. was right up there at the top of that board.
Okay, so China loaned money to the Germans and to the U.S. And you were talking about, you know, China has to be paid back. And we know that these gold bars turned out to be tungsten. So how does that pay out?
Let me explain a few more things about that China has to be paid back. That's why I'm going back to this, is because China were in cahoots with the G7, the G7 of the day in 1933, when FDR got in office and he declared bankruptcy for the United States. And that was the agreement that he was going to do that. And it was agreed upon by Hitler along with FDR. And FDR was doing his best to be a double agent anyway. You know he knew that what Pearl Harbor was on purpose. He knew all about that.
Right.
And he created the first, War Powers Act. And every time another president would get in office, they would create another War Powers Act.
A national emergency, so they could claim the National War Powers Act and go from constitutional law to admiralty law.
See, what did happen in effect? When they declared bankruptcy, the reason they declared bankruptcy was because in 1928, Noble Drew Ali got the land back into the Moorish people's hands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to be... You know, they didn't want that. They wanted to make all the profit on the land and own the land and own the people as chattel on the land, starting with white people.
And I'm going to push a lot of people's buttons by saying this, but Louis Farrakhan talks about this and many other black leaders, and it has to be told. And it's not that what we are doing is supporting, you know, radical Islam or terrorism. We are sharing the truth that has never been told to the people of this planet.
And people who say things like that, they get things like cancer, and he beat it. They gave him cancer, and he beat it.
Yeah.
And they also compromise those Anti-Defamation League from within. In other words, there are infiltrators in all of these organizations that are good organizations, yet they're infiltrated and bought, and people don't want to die, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Help me understand. In 1928, we got the land back, and then 5 years later, he declared bankruptcy. How are those two things related? Help me understand.
Okay, so what happened is that China steps in, and they create, instead of the Republic, which just declared bankruptcy. They create the corporate fascist United States Corporation instead, and China funds it. So that's criminal.
That's what I've heard, yes.
Yes.
So we don't have to pay China a dime back. We have to shut the whole fascist corporation down worldwide. And China will sit down and be quiet. And all of those neocon CIA Chinese running the government of China, they all get arrested and get executed in The Hague, too. All of that's happening right now. The owings of, you know, what the deal was in 1933 the Chinese made with the fascist state was that they would get interest on all of the companies and corporations' profits for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a 70-year agreement, and it ended in 2003. And then along came Leo Wanta to set up another garbage thing, working for the CIA and the NSA as a covert undercover status agent, just like Hillary. And along, what did they do then? You know, the Chinese even loaned another $27.5 billion, if you were following Chris' story, right along. You know, they were supposed to pay it back in 2003. Instead, they invaded Iraq. Why? Because then what did they do? They took over the Iraq bank. They took over the whole Iraqi national banking system. Paul Bremer did that. And then they put all of their police and firemen and military out of work. And then what did they do? They took that money and they took profits from the oil and they kept putting it in the hedge funds, and they put that hedge fund money to good work to, you know, make more propaganda. And this entire, since 2003 until now, this is what Barack Obama's got in his lap. And this is why he's got to get all of them arrested, including the cooperativeness of Chris' story with the Queen of England from the very beginning. And including China. And, you know, China and Russia have been independent of the Illuminati for the whole time. And still and yet they were doing things that they wanted to do. China wants to start an IMF over there in over there somewhere, I can't remember where, and just start another one of these rounds that they did over here. Are you kidding? What happened in October of 2008? The King of Swords made Basel II compliance, or the entire world economy would have shut down overnight. And if he hadn't, that's what would have happened. And then that began the transfer of all the gold from all the hidden places that Bush Sr. had had his control of. And by the time October was over, 40 zeros worth of gold had been transferred back into the United States in undisclosed locations, and Saint Germain knows exactly where they are, and the Ashtar Command and the 16 million galactic humans are protecting it, and believe you me, they know when somebody's trying to get after it, and they don't get it. They don't get to. And so what are they transferring down there in Haiti from there to wherever? Fake money. There's no gold behind that. All the gold's in the hands of Saint Germain. They have nothing.
That's right. That's what the Bank of Saint Germain is open means. It means they may be staging these things, but it's not happening. Nobody has been able to get their hands on that money since 2008, since that Basel compliance.
And the other thing, even innocent people working with Faction 2 ever since the early 90s and even in the late 80s, they never caught on. They never caught on that what was going on is that, you know, in the early 80s, the Wantamitterum Fund started, and they actually took $27.5 trillion and they put it into the hedge funds.
Rolling.
And rolled it. And Bergevin Fund started then in 1981. And what did they do? They killed Ronald Reagan 3 months, 2 months in, and then Bush Sr. was in charge of the hedge funds. And in 1981, Brzezinski offered Bono to be the head of the International Monetary Fund. And he said, go to that place that begins with an H. No, thank you, no thank you. We'll do it without you. And that's when also Willie Nelson was working right side by side with the wealthy visionaries. And then they put out, by 1985, Mr. Bergevin was working for the light, and he was very wealthy. And anytime someone's very wealthy, they consider that their money. And so they just use him and let him play for a while until they get rid of him. That's what they did. In 1985, they killed him. And then we were really having to deal with something, because that's why we did the We Are the World concert. And believe you me, Michael Jackson has been knowing that he was going to save the world from the very beginning. And I just learned who Lionel Richie was. It who co-authored with him? Was it Lionel Richie?
Lionel Richie.
I didn't know that till now. Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson worked together on the song We Are the World and the music. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until I heard Lionel Richie talk about it on a special that's on since Free Speech has been, you know, asking for donations again. That's another thing. It costs $13,000 a day for Free Speech to keep their programming going every day on Free Speech TV. And only people like you and me have supported that. They have had no corporate money to do that. That's what it means when Bono said, hell no. He said, we'll do it ourselves, and the people will support what we do. And that's why we were asked to do what we were due to. We were asked to stay out of the banking system, out of this economy altogether, and then ask the people to step out of the economy by supporting us so that the true news can come to the people. Mm-hmm. That's what they did with Amy. That's why Amy called up and said, you've got to keep doing what you're doing, because I can't go there. I can go only so far on even Free Speech TV. I cannot talk about galactic realms. I cannot talk about the spiritual realms. I cannot talk about what the King of Swords is going to tell you, Rama, that connects with those realms. And that's as it should be. Rama, having been Osiris, he did not incarnate in that lifetime. Only the feminine did that step first. That's me, Isis. And Isis isn't the only one that did that. The goodly company, in other words, thousands and thousands and thousands of us incarnated from the galactic realms, just like Isis. You don't think she could have done that alone? That means that was galactic intervention. There were many of us. And Beth, you remember being in Atlantis. You remember being in Egypt. And many, many, many of us are going to wake up to our memory now fully, and we really lost our way and our memory through amnesia when the ship of 144,000 came from antimatter and Jehovah took it over. And
I agree, Tara. I do remember all of that, and I do the same work in the same way regarding staying out of the financial system.
Exactly.
That's an important point right now.
And I just want you to know, everybody, thank you for every dime you ever donated so that we could continue this work and to bring the word to people who would never want to,
thank you,
want to even know about it in the beginning. And in our families. I mean, most of us are black sheep from our families.
I'm a black sheep from my family. I mean,
all of us on here are.
I think a lot of Neglected Roundtable are. Okay, I want to break in here now because we're talking about the donations. And we have been given a very generous offer from BBS Radio. This offer is the brainchild of Dawn and of Seth. And they've been willing to come forward and support us and do a wonderful thing because we're not for profit. Now, BBS Radio makes a profit from selling their archives. However, we negotiated when we started with BBS Radio that we have free archives. Darn Rama and Marita have had free archives for years, and we will never change that. And they said that was fine. You will always have free archives while you're with us. So I want everyone to know who's listening. You can go on BBS Radio anytime you want. You will always find our archives. Anything from Galactic Roundtable is always free. However, BBS Radio carries some dynamite shows besides ours, some other programs you may want to listen to. So they've done something super cool. They have given us a link for our website. And if you feel inspired to listen to any of their other archives, which they do charge for, that aren't ours, then you can click on the link on Galactic Roundtable, and that will take you to BBS Radio, where you can purchase a subscription to listen freely to all their other programs. And they've done a couple of different things. First of all, they're offering subscriptions that aren't available on their regular page. Plus, the new subscriptions they're offering only through Galactic Roundtable to help us out are at a reduced cost of what they have on their regular page. And not only that, they have pledged 60% of every purchase of their archives is going to go to Galactic Roundtable to pay for our airtime. So let's say you decide you want to listen to their programs for three months. That's not available on their regular page. So you purchase 3 months of subscription. 60% of that cost right off the top goes into the account of Galactic Roundtable to pay for our airtime. And that's incredibly generous. And so what else did I want to say about that?
A big thank you. Thank you.
A big thank you. Bless
you.
Seth and Don, thank you so much. Oh, boy, thank you.
I know what I wanted to say. They did something super cool for the Galactic Roundtable people. They're offering a one-week subscription. So you don't even have to pay for 6 months, 3 months, nothing. Just try it for a week. Even if you go for that 1 week, the 60% is going to come to us, so just try them out. They have amazing shows on their programming. And then, we're so grateful for your donations, but this is a new way that you can be donating to us and also get something back. And as an added thank you, we're doing something brand new that we're setting up. It'll take us at least a week to set it up, so be patient. We are going to be loading up all of the programs onto iTunes, and we're going to offer free podcasts of all of our archives through iTunes, downloadable. So we're doing everything that's in our power, you know, as we volunteer our free time and we get helpers who volunteer with us, we're doing everything in our power to give as much as we can. And, So we depend on those donations, but we're giving back as much as we possibly can, and we thank you all for your contributions and keeping the radio programs going.
Yes, thank you so much.
And since we're on the subject of volunteers, there's several jobs that can be had, you know, part-time, a lot of computer work. Anybody who has free time and wants to help out, and especially one thing we've been missing that we could really use help on is we need a good transcriptionist or two. We especially, at the minimum, need to catch up the Mother Sekhmet transcripts that are behind since sometime in November or December. December, I think. We really could use help with volunteers for transcription. So anybody who wants to contact me for this spiritual service, please send me an email at thegalacticroundtable.com. You can find me there easily. So I would love to receive emails from people wanting to donate some of their time to help us get these chores done so we can get the message out as much as possible. So I think that's all I have to say about that.
Well, thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Well, Rama, there's a couple of other neat things that happened in the news the last couple of days. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
All right. Well, there was this article come out in BBC News about the Chinese threatening the U.S. in some way. There's a lot of scuttlebutt about, you know, about the arms that we sold to Taiwan, allegedly, and that President Obama has pledged to meet with the Dalai Lama. And we all know that Mother Sekhmet said that could be a way that announcements would happen, that, you know, President Obama would go over and see the Dalai Lama and maybe together they would say something about this closure. She said that, and then this article came out on BBC saying, you know, reminding us that the president pledged that he would go see the Dalai Lama. And then also in the article it said later this month, which I guess is February, the Dalai Lama is planning a U.S. visit.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. So there was several articles flying around about that the last couple of days.
And when he is here, he is usually in Bloomington, Indiana, is where he will do some workshops and some presentations, and he usually spends quite a bit of time here in Indiana.
Well, Marita, if you get tickets, you let me know. I'm going to head down there.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
It's possible. It's not that difficult.
I have not seen His Holiness the Kundun since 1990.
I would love to see him now.
Yep.
Well, I'll see if I can find out when it's going to be.
Thank you.
I want to also say that Tom Hartman noted that China threatened Barack Obama and told him, don't you dare meet with the Dalai Lama because it will ruin your relationships with us.
Right.
And Tom Hartman just said, yeah, you mean your political, you know, intentions is what he's going to ruin.
Okay, what else did I have? You know, Rama, we put a video on the Galactic Roundtable from a super soldier, and we don't usually put out this style video, but when I listened to it, you know, I knew it was Faction 2 news, but a lot of things he said correlated with the Gulf of Aden and some other projects.
You mean Duncan?
No. Duncan's son, I think, Aaron McCollum is his name.
Oh, interesting. Well, what it tells me is, like, what Mother's been saying for so long and what I keep being told by Ranamu and everybody else is that the DNA is rebelling against the dark programming, and people are waking up that are these super soldiers. They're coming back to love. They are in their own way having to deal with the traumas that those bodies and those programs had to go through. They are asking for forgiveness and tremendous love to be able to even get up there and say, I did this. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Okay. And at that level, I have to say what's happening is the DNA is waking up and saying, I want to merge back with oneness. And the only way I know how to do this is to come forward and mea culpa in a way, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to say to everybody that this video is Faction 2. And this guy is incredibly credible in his accounting. And the point of putting the video up is to show exactly what you just said. These guys are waking up, and they're being asked to forgive, and they themselves were programmed, and they're just, the parts of them are finally realizing what has been going on in their lives for the last 10 years. And so we invite this emergence and this return to love, and that's the point of viewing the video.
Yeah, and I would just speak for myself back from the very beginning when I got captured and assimilated and became a Borg and had to forgive myself for all the things I did at that time, and then all the memories that go to this moment, and each moment remember to forgive self and to love the experiences so that we can think with our hearts and not our heads, because that gets us in trouble. And at that level, I can relate to these guys, yet I've never met them, but I understand what it feels like when, you know, that's, you know, in my case, I had a Borg prosthesis on my left hand.
In the Orion War.
In the Orion War. And there were times when I assimilated worlds and beings, and I could not control it. And I would literally fight with myself in the sense where I would be in an actual battle against my own self, where I would be in such, you know, pain, only in the sense of, why am I doing this? Please, you know, God, I am not, you know, I am God, but why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Where is this coming from? And this is not what I wish to be doing at this time, yet I am compelled to do it, and I can't control it. And sometimes what would happen is that the programming would override the conflict, and I would assimilate these beings, and I would beat myself up afterwards saying I did not have control, yet I allowed myself, in the sense of getting caught in the anger and the trauma, to continue it and not love it at the time and get angry at myself.
Well, that starts from the very beginning, the first experience.
Yeah.
When you were in the first creation, you ended up on the ship of 144,000, and Sananda Kumar was the admiral in charge.
This is about galactic healing. I guess this is why it's coming up, Beth and everyone.
Oh. And and Jehovah took over the ship.
Yeah.
And Rama got really angry, and he tried to take Jehovah out. And Jehovah remained neutral and reflected his anger back, and it took Rama out.
And then I got assimilated when I got reconstituted back by Metatron. I mean, he reconstituted me.
You didn't
me.
Get assimilated, you got reconstituted.
Yeah.
From etheric blueprint that Metatron holds for all life.
Right.
And in other words,
he was given another opportunity to continue because he had an important work. His first experience of anger and how he took himself out with his own anger, that was the original lesson.
Yeah.
That's why we keep on saying, see everything as goodness.
I got in my own way of going home.
In other words, love Jehovah and continue. Don't try to take him out because you'll take yourself out because Jehovah's the smartest thing you ever came across.
You got to go.
Because he's the shadow side of El Sion.
You go with the flow, the chi wu, the energy, just where attention go, energy flows.
Actually, he's the shadow side of the firstborn son of El Sion and Sekhmet, named
yes.
Yah-Vah, not Yahweh, Yah-Vah. And actually, that's even a little hard to say because it's actually using the letters with the breath. And it's another kind of way of speaking. It's almost like a Solex small sound frequency that you send out. And then the firstborn son cast a shadow of himself. And that was Jehovah. And that's the Jehovah that they write about in the Old Testament. And that's the law of sacrifice. And everyone takes on that, which was called karma that occurred during that entire law of sacrifice, because the law of sacrifice was coupled with war. So we all volunteered every single lifetime since that point to keep coming back until it got reversed and we had peace. 450 billion years of this.
And I mean, to bring it back today, I mean, I never expected to see the queen going mea culpa, you know. Oh my God.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I can read your mind, sorry.
Well, you have to understand.
The queen saying that she's going to give back her lands for the underprivileged ones that have suffered in the southern hemisphere?
Let's put it this way. The hologram is programmed. Ha, 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 ha. And the King of Swords is in charge of the holograms.
That's what I was getting to. Yes, right.
All right, we got someone with a question or something. Chandra Das. Oh, hi, Chandra Das.
Hi, Chandra Das.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I have a little question about Rama's biography. I've heard you mention that at the age of 13 or something, you made a speech at some event in that was in like 1967, and you were 13 years old. So I was born in like 55 at 19.5 in Honolulu, Hawaii. Then you keep referring to this other thing in 1933 or 43 sometimes. Was that in your previous rental unit?
Oh, that's when Rama was not in a rental unit at all, but as Ashtar's son, he went with Ashtar and represented the people of Earth, and he went to the solar tribunal that Lady Master
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So could you go over that a little bit and comment on well, myself being a 19.5 born, too, in 1955, and is that the year that he was, Rama, you were born in 55, 54?
53.
53. All right, 10-4.
And what happened in 1933, let's just say it was getting to the place where Hitler was getting very close to figuring out how to use the Ark of the Covenant and the other technologies of death, and Saint Germain and the Forces of Light, the Solar Tribunal, along with Commander Cryon of Magnetic Service, said, well, are we going to intervene here, folks, and end this little, you know, dance? And at that level, Commander Cryon of Magnetic Service petitioned the Solar Tribunal and said, I don't think humanity's made it, so let's make way for hyperspace bypass and call in the Vogon construction fleets. And I said, excuse me, sir, with all due respect.
Would you
respect,
please explain what that is?
That's from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if everybody's seen it. By
well,
now,
everybody
has.
No,
it's a little before my time.
Oh.
Come on, Rama, tell people.
Okay, if you've ever seen
The Hitchhiker's metaphor, he's got to keep his colorful metaphors.
Yes.
I know, Chandradas. I'm teasing Rama.
I'm teasing you. I'm teasing everything. It's wonderful.
What I'm saying is that I went before the Solar Tribunal and said, with all due respect, sir, I speak for humanity. I know they can make it. I know that we have a chance. Please give them that chance. Ashtar also petitioned the Solar Tribunal, and they took favor on us and said, yes, we will allow humanity to heal and bring this back to wholeness. I know you guys can make it. And this is where it comes front and center right now, why people like Ranamu that have come from 175 million years into our future have come back in time to say, yes, we make it. This is the time, this is the place, right now. Nisara is part of the key, and part of the key is galactic first contact, how we create peace here, and how everything gets exposed, all the stories. And it's no accident, Avatar just gets released and everybody starts waking up exponentially with this movie and all the other stories that are coming out across the planet, and interspersed with all of that are these various little news blurbs that are coming out where Keith comes out with one-liners and Rachel and all these other folks, Lawrence O'Donnell, Howard Feynman,
Feingold.
Howard Feynman, and I can't think of all the people that have come on MSNBC, but it's like all the
Jonathan Turley.
Yeah.
Oh, just
Richard Wolff. Richard Wolff was earlier this week was on Stephanie Miller, and he came right out.
Say who that is.
Richard Wolff is a political news person that comes on Keith all the time. And
from
From England. I mean, he's over here, but he's British.
Okay.
And he's a political pundit, but he knows the truth, and he wrote a book that is, like, outrageous. And
you don't remember the name, though.
I can't think of it at the moment. It escapes me. But the stories that are just being told correlate exactly with all of this, in the sense it's no accident that as all of this is lining up right now, the pieces are falling into place to get Nisara announced and heal all the timelines. Like Ranamu said to me today, this is our story that's being healed for every single one of us, even these dark ones, even if they never get to cop to it, it's being healed. And let's love them even more at this time, because they are in the throes of the terror that they are afraid of us. There is nothing.
They're afraid to die.
They're afraid to die, and there is no death.
And there is no death yet.
There's eternal life.
You get kind of used to being in power with all the money in the world.
And
Rama, you know, Mother Sekhmet, I mean, on the 30th of January, Saint Germain gave us an update, and he said, Mother Sekhmet has said the stories, the tales will be told, and he said these whistleblowers are the beginnings of that.
That's right.
We're in the phase of telling the tales.
Okay, Linda's on either line 2 or line 1.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Linda.
Yes, we can
hear
you.
Hi, actually it's Lynn.
Wait for a second, Lynn. Linda, sure. Are you waiting on line one? Linda. Seth, do you know it? Is Linda still waiting? Because she's calling back from before. I'm sorry, Linda. Go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, okay. I can wait if that.
It looks like she's not there.
Okay. Question. I just realized, thinking over the last couple of days, where is Mr. Cheney? I haven't seen him or heard from him in a while.
I hesitate to answer because it would just be tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. Oh, you're funny.
I will say Darth Vader Dick is in his embryonic egg trying to breathe, and he's having a very hard time because the mist around him is enveloping him in his own stench, and it's getting too much.
Okay.
Quite eloquent, Rama. My same answer.
Love him even more.
Right.
Will do.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Dick Cheney has been gone since 2007, in case you were wondering. Actually, his original was killed in 2000, along with Bush Jr., on the 28th of October in 2000, even before, you know, the election. So,
Linda's back. Linda's back.
All right. Linda, is that
Hi
okay?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hi there. I am struggling to understand what a hologram is. Can somebody enlighten me? Who programs it? Where does the projection come from? What's the right way to think about it?
A hologram is a technology that has been around for 13,000 years, since Atlantis and Egypt and all of that time period, and it's never not been here. It has been renewed by Hitler, and Hitler got the technology from this being named Kahotep, who 13,000 years ago knew all about it and actually used the obscene rite of eating the pineal gland of children for 13,000 years. He extended his lifetime every 50 years by doing that and managed to stay for 13,000 years. And Hitler got a hold of him underground in the Setonian bases, and, you know, they just started it all over again. So holograms, when you want to kill somebody and you don't like what they're doing, you know, you can clone them, and or at the end of that clone's timing, you can even hologram them. A clone has an essence of soul, except for the soul of that clone has for just about every lifetime refused to come back to love. So that when they kill and clone someone that they want to do the dark side work and they don't like the way they're behaving, then they just kill them and clone them. They're much more easily programmable. So they have a much more, they have a stronger program that they, just like Rama was saying, you know, when he had a prosthesis and a Borg prosthesis. In other words, he was having a lot more trouble overriding himself doing wrong things, like killing people.
Right.
Well, can I add something?
Wait a second. There was too many people said something at the same time.
Go ahead, Linda.
Go ahead. We heard that incredible speech by the Queen of England, was that programmed? Was that like a... They program that into her? Am I understanding it correctly?
Well, she's a hologram that has had to behave herself, and she's not quite the same. Remember?
Do they have a free will? In other words, when you say she has to behave herself, how controlled are they?
Completely, because the hologram doesn't have a soul at all anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. And remember when Barack Obama and Michelle went over to London and Michelle got to put her arm around the Queen? She was putting her arm around a hologram. I mean, whoever heard of the Queen hugging a black woman hug her? It's against all protocols. Nobody ever got to do that ever, not even a white lady.
Mm.
Okay, I want to add something to the discussion, and Linda, maybe this will help too. This is what Mark wrote us about this subject. He said, this brings up a subject you may or may not be conversant with, clones, doubles, and holograms. It appears we must ask you to suspend judgment and consider the facts given by Faction 3, 38 levels above the president. In order to preserve continuity of world markets and normal government processes, certain devices have been utilized. Trained doubles are a well-known and long-standing practice for leaders to appear to be attending trivial functions while in fact they are attending private meetings. Because of the delicacy of issues involved, these other high-level meetings were not publicized. Now, expand this idea into the medical scientific area, where unbeknownst to the public, the practice of cloning has been standardized for longer than we've been here on the planet. They can take a single strand of DNA and scan and insert this into a prepared synthetic model and grow in tanks a new vehicle in which they can transfer the memory of the original. I've seen this done myself.
This is just like what they showed with Jake Sully.
Yes, it is.
Who's Jake Sully?
Jake Sully is Avatar.
Right.
In those tanks. I've seen this myself. Every time they duplicate one, meaning a clone, there is less and less DNA to use. So the clone deteriorates faster. Now, that's what Tara's talking about when she talks about the obscene deal.
Obscene, right.
Thank you.
I was going to say, Beth, that's why Hillary looks like, each time they reclone her, she gets these bags under the eyes.
Right.
And that was what was under the eyes of Bill Clinton, too. You know, there were only 21 clones of Bill.
And Ted Kennedy.
And Ted Kennedy, yeah.
And a bunch of others. And then they need to go to the spa. So let me finish what Mark was saying. Some last 1 month, 6 months, or 1 year by different methods. When top leaders travel around the world, especially assassinations, a blank clone is kept nearby. When one drops or becomes defective, they can, in about 8 minutes, insert the memories into a blank, and they can pick up a conversation as if nothing ever happened. This actually happened to Bush Sr. when he was at a state dinner in Japan. An assassination sniper shot him in the forehead, and he plopped forward into his dinner as his wife sat next to him and all the world was watching. They carried him into the back room and transferred his knowledge into the clone Bush Sr., and it appeared 20 minutes later, and he finished his dinner. His wife, Barbara, immediately knew that he had been replaced. Faction 3 revealed to us they carried 8 blanks or clones with them on Air Force One. This actually constituted the 34th revision, with the original having been killed many years before. There have been 34 copies, and the current one has now ceased to function. The only original leaders are Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, and they still walk the streets and will continue. And Bill Clinton did have doubles and clones, but he has not been killed as the others were. No clones of Obama have been made or will be made. The practice is over. Another form of this is when the clone provides unreliable They can hologram. The beauty of this is the hologram is easily programmed and more easily controlled. Most Illuminati world leaders are in this form now. In other words, the original has expired. A few will be tried publicly in The Hague at the IJC World Court before being turned off. All Illuminati heads of state are to be removed. Holographic film versions will be in place until full disclosure is made. At least 400 of these Congress are film stars. And this is what Saint Germain was talking about last week when he said, how do you think Barack Obama felt addressing the Congress knowing that he's talking to 400 holograms? That changes the train of thought right there. This is our reality, and the more we understand it and bring it back to love, the quicker we can move this bus. Move the bus.
Great. Well, thank you very much. That answered a lot. A lot. Thank you. I'm an English lit major, so all this science drives me buggy, but I'm trying. Thank you.
I understand. I want to let people know that, you know, there's a feature on Galactic Roundtable. We have a search feature. So if there's one item like hologram that you're not sure about, you can click on View All on the blog where we have all the articles and all the channelings. Click on the View All button. It's at the bottom of the blog. That'll bring up a search window. You can type in one word into that window like hologram. It'll bring every article that ever mentioned hologram up. And then,
very cool.
And if you want to read more, even more, then everything that Mark ever wrote about over the years has been compiled into one website, and it has archives talking about a lot of these things. And that website is grt-intel.com, and you can get to it from the Galactic Roundtable and read and read and read.
Thank you. That's terrific, Beth. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Linda. Oh, since I'm speaking about the website, I just want to say I've already gotten, while we still are on the radio, emails from people who want to volunteer, and I just want to say I love you guys. Thank you, and I'll be writing you in the next day or two. And keep
love
it coming.
You
can use more help. Thank you, thank you. You guys are wonderful. Okay. Is this a good time to switch gears a little bit? Because I'd like to talk about the Magical Kingdom tonight.
Yes, it's time.
Me too.
It's time to stop talking about holograms and transgenders and, oh, God. Let's, take it away, Ben, please.
Oh, well, before you go, I want to say something about that, too, because now that you bring it up.
Oh, God, I'm looking at Keith talking about all this stuff on the TV.
Never mind. Now, listen.
Go ahead, Tara.
You know, there was that O Agency, and the purpose in the preamble of the O Agency, which was put together in 1892, was to reduce the human population to under 2% by the turn of this century, right here, right now in our face. And what that meant is that they created all these eugenics programs, all these vaccination programs, and they also did some other things. They did experiments on twins. That was a very important Dr. Mengele was hired by Hitler to do these experiments to help reduce the human population by genetic modification of your sexuality.
Yeah.
And what they did is they would take one twin, and that twin was already genetically modified to be straight, and they took the other one and they genetically modified it to be gay. And they let that grow and see if it worked, and it did. And they literally genetically modified our DNA to be gay because that was another way to reduce the human population to under 2%. The more people that were from birth
modified to be gay, then they wouldn't have kids. They would go and have same-sex relationships, and then they could reduce the human population that way. And that's the truth. And we're all hybrids, yet they took the hybrids that we were made into 6,000 years ago, and then they hybridized them again, and they reversed their codes. That's a hard one for a lot of people. They think that they've had free will choice. Well, they still do, yet the genes have to be reversed again. Okay.
And that feeling is happening right now.
It is. It is.
Thanks, Tara. I think we have Big Will back. Are you back, Big Will?
Yes, I am, Beth. Thank you very much.
Hi.
My second question is to Tara and Rama. The question is this. This month is the month of February, Black History Month. As you all know, we have two birthdays coming up, one for Lincoln and one for Washington, the 12th and the 22nd. Is there any relationship between the numbers and those two presidents? I pass the talking stick.
I'll say that as we are approaching this in this timeline, I would certainly hope that conversations on many of these alternative channels will bring it back to the original story that, you know, John Hanson was the first, you know, African-American president.
He was a Moorish president.
Yes.
And what that meant is that he was also a Mason.
Yes.
And the Moorish teachings and the Masonic teachings are identical. And Saint Germain wrote the Masonic teachings, and then they twisted them. And they used them in reverse. They were the teachings of alchemy. And our gifts were there for us to use for goodness. And they used that teaching of alchemy for evil.
Yeah.
And they turned it around, and they never were allowed to deviate ever. That means they made sure that each generation of their own children, they made sure to have them programmed and genetically modified to do their bidding, and as they didn't pan out, they would cage them by the time they're four, and then they would kill them by the obscene rite method and eat them and extend their own life force for another 50 years. And that has never stopped for 13,000 years. So this is why we can have some compassion for the ones that we are looking at that are called criminal. This is the kind of control leveraging that has been going on for 13,000 years.
Now, Tara, I want to tell everybody, I had spoken on Sunday about how we're not talking to our children about the true history, and that we can be doing more to talk to them. Now, this obscene rite, you may not know, but this was brought up in the Harry Potter book.
Oh.
Now listen to this. In the first book of Harry Potter, the Sorcerer's Stone, then they went out into the dark forest with what is the giant's name? Starts with an H. Rubius Hagrid. Hagrid took Harry Potter and Draco Malfoy out into the dark forest, and because they got detention, so they had to go help him. And what did they find out there with the centaurs? Now, we know the centaurs are found at Alpha Centauri, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so when they went out there, they found a unicorn. And what did the centaur tell Harry Potter? He said, that one who drinks the blood of a unicorn extends his life, but the half-life is miserable, and the one who drank the blood has a miserable life after that.
Yes.
So all truths are built into the Harry Potter book.
Wow. Yeah, it correlates exactly with what happened in Egypt with Kahotep and the obscene rite.
Mm-hmm.
And Kahotep, even though he did this, he was tormented, and he had a horrible life. And he was not happy, and he had to do this all the time.
Well, he didn't have a horrible life when Isis and Osiris were with him for 600 years, and then he was really pissed off that he had to carry on without them.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, you don't have to tell your kids about the obscene rite. You don't have to tell them that people ate children. I wouldn't go there. What you do is you stay with your children on their age level and speak to them on their age level, but be sure if they read the Harry Potter books or even see the movie, then make mention of that scene while you're watching the movie and have them notice that you mentioned that scene to them. And then later when they hear the truth, they'll connect it in their mind, and that will help them become more awake and aware than they already are.
Correct.
My two cents.
Thank you. And how... What I could say about all of this relating to, I just remember what Big Will asked about, you know, Washington and Lincoln and this being Black History Month. I think as we are watching revelation upon revelation get exposed right now across the media, in the sense that maybe the truth this month will finally be told about Mr. Lincoln and his connection to the Rothschilds and how he actually...
Well, he was a Rothschild on his father's side, and his mother was a Moorish slave.
Yeah.
And on his... And his wife was a member of the Collins family.
Yeah, Mary Todd.
And the Collins family is more powerful than the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers put together.
If you remember the...
So he was a pawn.
And this is going off in a different vein, but if you remember in the 60s, a TV daytime soap opera called Dark Shadows, the Collins family, Barnabas Collins, the vampire, you know, think about it.
These families are undead, everybody. Want to explain that term, too?
And it correlates exactly with Mary Todd and the Collins families and all of these 13 families that were part of our original soul family called the Anunnaki Nibiru Ruins, and how they want to twist this story to bring it back to their story rather than the true history and her story.
Because they're all mother's children. We're all mother's children. It's just the fact.
Yeah. They're all mother's children, and it's just time for them all to understand this is being healed in spite of their stuff. It's quite a dance, and it would just totally turn me on no end to see the true story of Mr. Lincoln told, how he actually paid this, he actually coined the money to free the Moorish nation.
Well, no, he received 25 or 35 million dollars from the Moorish nation that was here.
Yes.
And that was the only way he was going to be able to win the war.
That's right.
And then the U.S. dollar has an IOU on the front of it. It's called the Eye of Horus, which is the symbol of the Moorish nation.
Right.
And it meant that they were going to have to pay that money back, which they refused to pay. And the Rothschilds just stole it, and then they propagandized the rest of us into some more wars. And, you know, they already, that means they had since Abraham Lincoln until 1913, they had been planning to do what they did in 1913 since Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
To take the, you know, turn this into a Federal Reserve Bank. Fake money. And we still owe the money. And we owe it to all of us to wake up to the fact that we're all Moorish people. No matter what our color, what it means is we're mother's children. That's what it means, no matter what color it is, which means we must come into the dispensation of the divine feminine as the source. And that's why it's so important for everybody to realize that Allah is Mother Goddess.
Allah, Iwa, how many ways to say it? I pass the talking stick. Back to you, Beth.
Okay, so are you guys going to let me change the subject now, for real?
Yes.
No, I'm excited because the news, it's really obvious in all the news and all the programs that the tide is turning and the tales are being told, and it's becoming more exciting. So I love the news. I could talk about it all night.
I know.
I'm going to hold off, and I'll bring up a couple more things tomorrow. How about that?
Yes.
Okay, now this afternoon I received a new channeling from Archangel Chamuel about the magical kingdoms. I would like to read that now.
You got it.
Okay, here we go. All right, everybody, this is Archangel Chamuel speaking. Archangel Chamuel is one of the archangels, and his consort is called Charity. Chamuel and Charity. And he and she work together. They work towards world peace. It's a large part of their mission. And they're known as the Angels of Love. This is what Archangel Chamuel had to say today. I asked him, speaking about the Avatar movie, I wanted to know more about dragons, because they have them riding the banshees in the movie. And so I asked him to explain to us more about the magical dragons. And this is what he had to say. This is Archangel Chamuel speaking. As we return the Earth to a planet of light, we restore the magical kingdoms and invite back the dragons on Earth. Dragons are found in legends and tales from the East and from the West. The magical qualities of the dragon can be found in books, art, songs, in essentially every ancient culture ever known on Earth. The dragons will now be able to come back from the etheric realms and join us in the now. We may delight in their magic once more. There are many types, colors, sizes, and aspects of dragon. As other creatures of Earth, dragons have evolved to adapt best to the environment they live in. You may use the dragon in your meditations and call on them to usher in your siddhas. Siddhas are your magical gifts, which everyone has, and most have forgotten how to use them. Remember the different dragons of lore as you invite them into your energy and play together once more. Fire dragon. The fire dragon represents leadership, inner fire, vitality, and mastery. Sky dragon. The air dragon represents inspiration, vitality, intellect, respect, insight, and illumination. sea dragon, the water dragon whose virtues include passion, depth, courage, ability to face the past without fear and compassion. Earth dragon, which gives power of realizing potential, acquiring riches, and grounding one's energy in order to harness it. And the cosmic dragon is the Akasha, meaning etheric. Akasha is the omnipresent, incontrovertible, transcendent, eternal source of all energy. Feel the majestic qualities of these beings as you remember your connection to them. All continents of the world have had their legends, myths, and beliefs about the dragon. However, they originated in the East, in China and Japan, and are still honored in those regions to this day. Some of the many cultures and countries that have a deep historical connection with the dragon are the Chinese, Japanese, the Celts, American Indians, and Europeans. Buddhist legend tells that Apalala, a water dragon, was converted to Buddhism by Buddha himself. In Sanskrit, the word naga means dragon. Take a ride on dragon out of body and allow it to fly you into the Nagua where your true freedom waits for you. Those soaring with dragon will see their lives, spiritual energy, and mental clarity imbued with all the virtues attributed to the dragon. The dragon is a powerful spirit, and its supernatural properties are the most influential of all. Creation and magic, treasures from within and without, and so much more can be integrated into the spirit of the possessor of this dragon energy. As we bring the magical kingdoms fully into our lives and play as children with them, we lose our fears and respect all life forms. In this experience, we return to bliss in the great light and sound orchestra of life as it is in our star nation origins. The time for peace with all life is now. Archangel Chanuel. I passed the talking stick.
Thank you, Beth. I will speak from personal experience of writing on Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
and banshees and the dragons are very similar. And Ruth was, I mean, still is. She is awakening, and she might even be fully awake, helping heal the hologram with the Shark Island people of the Pacific Rim of Fire. And all of this has to do with the breakup of Lemuria and Atlantis in the east.
In the west.
Well, in the eastern part of the United States, and Lemuria was in the Pacific.
Actually, that's an important point because 20 minutes south of Santa Fe was the midpoint where Atlantis met Lemuria, and there was a strait called the Strait of Lemuria, which was a body of water that went right through between, a 20-minute drive. That little strait was right there between Santa Fe and La Cienega. And remember, the Lemurian solar disk is sitting right there still in La Cienega at sunrise of the solar springs. 10-foot tall, etheric, physical, golden sphere. And it holds the violet flame connection between all the way back between the time of ancient Lemuria, all the way back to the great central sun.
and that feed of that violet flame comes through that solar disk and keeps feeding into the planet right through Sunrise Springs where it sits. And they do the same thing with the one in South America, that's the Atlantean solar disk down there in Machu Picchu, inside the Monastery of the Seven Rays, which is located about 4,000 feet higher than Lake Titicaca, so that's 14,000 feet up in the air in the Valley of the Blue Moon. And it's visible to anyone who's able to see it, and that means developing your third eye. And don't be surprised if one day all of a sudden you're seeing all kinds of stuff you never thought was even real.
This is what ties in with Ruth and riding the banshees, riding the dragons, as you merge your consciousness with your dragon. It blends your energies like we blend the strands with the tails or the braids. Remember, Jake, he took his braid and he merged it with his banshee, and they were one consciousness, one mind, one heart.
The banshee was the dragon, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I did with Ruth. And as we had one consciousness, you know, my thoughts are your thoughts. It was like a Vulcan mind meld almost.
That's also true about ourselves when we're up on the New Jerusalem, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
We become one mind and one consciousness and one heart with the ship itself. It's sentient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we work as a complete collective organism, one with the mechanism of the ship and with everybody on it.
Right.
And as you flow more and more into that oneness with your dragon, your banshee, it helps you evolve more in that sense, that it helps that being evolve and helps you evolve to greater and greater realms, bringing this planet back to peace and healing all the holograms for everyone else. Right.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that Archangel Chamuel is saying in this to bring these magical beings into your meditations. I don't have recent work with dragons, but Mark and I rode on Pegasus, and when we would take Pegasus, ours is called Arendal, when we would take Arendal into meditation with us, we were able to go to higher dimensions working with Arendal than we could on our own. And that was exciting. You could actually feel the body of this being under you while you're out of body. And I know everybody's at different levels of working with their meditations, but all I can say is practice, practice, practice. It gets to be more and more fun.
It does. And as you feel it, sense it, taste it, touch it in your body, and, you know, as you visualize it and make it so, it is very tangible that you can touch it and taste it. And it's one with you. I passed the talking stick.
Well, I was just remembering, you know, Mark and I would think up these ideas, you know, well, where do you want to go next? And he had these wild ideas, and I would, where are we going to get there? And he would say, we'll take Arendal. And it was so true, because when we would do that, when we would merge with this magical being, it would take us higher. And I don't know how to explain that except for we would go to these places that were so high vibration, we could barely even stay in our bodies. And because we would be out past the 13th dimension, and it's just absolutely exhilarating. So I encourage everyone to keep Just use these visualizations. I'll record this meditation for you tomorrow. If you're an audio learner and that helps you, then that's great. Just keep working at it again and again, and you'll go higher and higher in your meditation.
And this, I just heard this little thought go off in my head, what Tom Hartman talks about. Different people hear it, see it, and experience it. Some people see it. Some people hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people sense it. And
right.
It has to do with how you work with that Edison gene.
Right.
And he brought it up today, the ADD and the ADDHD, which is not a negative thing. It's a very magical thing. And we're only now finding out about these parts of ourselves that have been hidden from us as God beings, because this temple of the living God is, we are gods. And as we learn this, we have all our gifts and abilities back. And like it talks about in Raja Yoga, you can imagine yourself, and in meditation you do this. You shrink to the size of an atom and then a particle, and you flow with the particles of the universe. And if you want, you visualize yourself or meditate and see yourself as large as Mount Kailash or Mount Everest, and you can experience what it's like to be a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And at that level, you're one with that energy, that place, and it brings it into a new awareness where we used to do this stuff long before even the land of Pan. As we started to step into bodies, we were clear. We were literally clear light beings, like a clear glass. That you could see through, and we could walk through walls, we could walk through mountains, we could walk through rocks, and there was nothing we can't do.
Mm.
And it's coming full circle. And as what happened at that time, as things kind of fell into descending matter, we lost those abilities because we started to mistrust our awareness, or we started to misjudge our awareness, or not misuse. Sometimes we would go, oh, the very first thought, the very split second a thought passes through, that's the right one. Then you would forget about that one, and then a second later, the second thought would come, and that would be, well, you know, and you... And you might follow that one, and it would lead you down the zigzag path to nowhere. Yes. And that's the place where you got to bring it back to that very first split second, that spark, and not to take it anywhere else.
Well, Rama, that happens to people today. That's why they have trouble with meditation. It has something to do with the chatter in the mind, as an example, and that's the ego mind that has to be quieted. And what you say about the Edison gene is absolutely true. I see and I hear, but Mark's greatest sense was sensing or feeling, and so his descriptions were very, very different than mine and complementary to mine, because he had developed his sensing so exquisitely, and it was a completely different experience. So you guys out there, if you hear me talking about seeing and hearing, it doesn't have to be your experience. You can sense it as well. You can feel it. And if you're not thrilled about bringing any kind of a dragon into your meditation, that's okay. Just call on Pegasus. call for your own Pegasus. There's an unlimited number of them out there to join you in meditation, and they would delight in doing that.
Right, if you even want to visualize Shadowfax from the Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. Gandalf's white horse, he will show up for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And when I came back in, I didn't automatically have all my abilities back. I had to remember them, and I had a full-time job and a family, and I went into meditation, I would say, 5 to 7 hours a day. But the reason I did it is because it was more fun than anything else here. I would get up at 3 a.m. and meditate for 3 hours before I would get ready for work. And I didn't care that I wasn't sleeping. I wanted to meditate. And I would do it at night before bed every single night. And on the weekend, forget it. I was meditating. And so I'm telling you, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And that's a lot of fun.
And you, as you do it, you create the timing in which there's time to be with the kids, there's time to work, there's time mm-hmm. to do all of the processes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Beth, if you don't mind.
Mother
said to us way back in 1991, that as you meditate, the more you meditate, the less you need to sleep. And she said, ultimately that we wouldn't need any more than 2 hours of stasis a night, which is what they do on the ships. Mm. And that kind of sleep isn't the same as what we do when we go to sleep. It's you're in between worlds, and you're getting more energy in 2 hours than an 8 hour or a 12 hour night.
When you guys see me that I'm not posting and I'm not replying on the blog and you don't see that I'm around, you can bet that I'm in stasis at those moments, that I'm not here, and that's why I'm not doing that work. And it's true about needing less sleep. You know, I would get up at 3 o'clock and meditate until 6. And then I would go to a stressful full-time job in an office, in a cube, with a computer. And then I did that 5 days a week, and I would sit in traffic for an hour from 5 to 6. And I would go by the bank, and I would go by the grocery store, and I would come home to 3 children, and I would cook dinner, and I would help them with their homework. And I would watch something on TV with them. And the second I wasn't doing that family scene or that work scene anymore, I was back meditating. And it was a religion. I did it every single day. And the only reason I did it is because I loved it so much. And I would say the other clue I can give people is I never once in my whole memory of all time, not one time, went into a meditation without Archangel Michael there with me every time. And it's very simple. You just say, Archangel Michael, please come put a dome of protection around me and let's go on our adventure together. And always thank Michael for coming with you, and always say to him, thank you, I love you, thank you for being with me. It's as simple as that. And then just go. Jump on your Pegasus and roll. Go wherever you want and keep at it, and tell your ego mind that it can just be an observer and be very quiet because you don't want it to talk right now.
Yeah.
Also remember, everybody, that Archangel Michael is in charge of the office of the presidency and always has been, as it's been the seat of power on Earth.
And he holds the planetary prince position.
Along with Sananda Kumara.
Yes.
That means the King of Swords and Archangel Michael are also one. And Barack Obama's overshadowing again is still in Elmoria on the first ray of the Archangel Michael's electric blue sword of truth. Archangel Michael and Elmoria share that first ray together.
Yeah.
It's a tight ship, everybody.
I'm remembering kind of a funny story. Mark would really come out with some outrageous ideas of where we should try to go. And we've been places, and, you know, Mark would come out of meditation, and he would tell Rama, you know, we went so-and-so. And Rama would say, how did you get in there? It's guarded. And Mark would laugh, and he said, when Beth got to the door, she was met with crossed swords. And she reminded everyone that we had been invited by certain ones, but we had come in the wrong way. And then we were allowed to progress after that. And Rama, you might want to comment on that. I'm making fun of it, but it's kind of serious.
Yeah, there's certain areas across the galaxies and universes that you got to, in a sense, follow the protocols. And as you would show up, whether it's in the etheric physical or physical, you follow the protocols according to the galactic spiritual hierarchies and the ascended masters. And
well, yeah. what I want to say is that it's not really a joke. Mark and I never went any place that we weren't invited first. And it's okay if you ask permission before you go. And you say to the one, you know, if you want to go to Saturn, you can ask Lady Master Nada, you know, can I have permission to go in those halls? Can I have someone accompany me there? And that may sound really far-fetched, but as you get better and better in your meditations, you may be able to go into some of these places. But it was always an inviting process, and it was always asking first.
I got to tell you one more thing. Rama went for a little ship ride with Mother Sekhmet, and she took him to the Galactic Center. Salvington is the capital of our Galactic Center, and when he got there, Archangel Michael gave Rama a very special crystal, and you should tell the story of that crystal, how you took it to this major jewelry store. And what he said, Bella Jewelry Store?
Yeah, and the guy just looked at it, and
he really looked at it.
He got freaked, and he said, where did you get this? and I just said, well,
it didn't come from Earth.
Yeah.
And he kind of...
He said it was worth everything that the whole city of Santa Fe was sitting on.
And, yeah, he said, you know, could I, you know, consider, you know, making a deal? I couldn't refuse. And I said, it's not for sale. Mm-hmm. It is to go, I explained to him as well, that this is one of two crystals that go into the two kitties of Pachamama down at the cities of, you know, Machu Picchu. And when both of these go into the nipples of Pachamama, they open up the gates of Machu Picchu and the seven cities of Cibola or El Dorado. And it's part of the healing of the gateways of all of these stories. Because I believe, my understanding now after all these years, that the reason the crystals were taken away and stashed until the right time was so that these places of living light, living love, could not be used for any darkness whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the ziggurats, just like the pyramids. You know, all of this is part of the magnetic grid system of the planet. I passed the talking stick.
Yes. I have a crystal like that, too, that's not from Earth.
Yeah.
That I work with as well.
Yeah, we know, Beth.
And it was hidden away as well. You know, it was hidden away until the one came who was supposed to use it.
Right.
Ugh. Well, what would you like to do now?
Anybody out there have anything to share?
Well, I could read one of those articles if we want to, except that is there anything more you want to tell us about these wonderful other kingdoms? Because, you know, we were trying to change the subject there for a while.
Well, I was reminded, you know, Ashtar has talked to us about Queen Mab, and it reminded me of what it's like to visit Neptune. That's where I link up with the magical realms the most from my memory. You know, as, and we've heard a lot of this from Saint Germain, too, about how the magical realms are returning to Earth, and we should all be expecting to see these things. That's what I'm really excited about.
You know, when you said that, Neptune, remember that you went on that trip once with Mark, and you went to Neptune and you went to Uranus, too. And when you got to Uranus, and the reason I'm going to skip to Uranus right now is because there's sudden change involved with this. Uranus is in our face all the way through 2011.
Right. Right.
And you found there these black people that were about 4 feet tall. And then, not long after you all discussed that trip, all of a sudden on the History Channel, I'm watching an hour special, and they're talking about this 4.4 million-year-old black being that was very, 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 very civilized, and they found this being in Ethiopia, and I went, oh, my God, they're from Uranus.
Yeah. There's this ancient civilization, and I would have to pull it up on my computer. It's a town that starts with an S and someplace in the Middle East. And I came across the architecture of this one little town, and I just, my jaw dropped to the floor because it looked exactly like the buildings on Uranus. And then I was looking at tourist photos from this town, and there was this black statue built in the town square, and it was one of the guys from Uranus. And I said, that's it. That's what it is. This town is a replica of what I saw on Uranus. And I had never heard of this place before. I put that out on Galactic Roundtable before. I would have to pull it out, but it was amazing. I looked at that statue and I said, that's what I saw. Someone wrote me a note one time and said, are the guys on Uranus, are those the ones that they speak about, the master builders that are in the Masons? And I said, yes. I didn't know if they were or not. I'll be honest. Maybe Rama and Tarnow. Anyways, but I knew that they were the master builders. And he said, well, what do they look like? And I said, well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. They reminded me of Oompa Loompas from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And he laughed and he said, no wonder they don't talk about what they look like. I said, yeah, well, they look like the Oompa Loompas, but with, you know, black skin, black skin.
And what comes to mind that I have been shown is that, remember a few years ago, there was a story about these tiny little creatures or beings that were like hobbits, and they found these tiny skeletons in Africa, and they were black people. And Ranamu told me today that some of these folks are originally from Uranus, and they migrated here.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories about the hobbits are all absolutely true. This is why Mr. Tolkien tried to get his story out in such a colorful way. And Chandra Das is back. Line one.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak a little bit about my meditation practices. I don't know if it's the emphasis is different or what, but I know that I don't when I sit to meditate, it's like I don't want anything. I want Zen. I want to be the seer behind the eyes, and I don't want to travel anywhere except inward. You know, to the mother. You know, to that space inside, that samadhi. And seeking an experience or flying on a dragon would be wonderful, but I haven't had an experience like that. However, I just feel like the other day, a tail of a dragon was, you know, wagging at the end of my spinal cord or something like that. But I don't know, maybe you could speak a little bit about how really the goal of meditation is to be with the self, the self with a capital S, and go beyond the senses or seeking any kind of adventure?
I would love to talk about that. I sometimes when I go into meditation, Chandra Das, I go to a place, what I call formless form. I go into my light body and I go out to where there's nothing but light. And when I'm there, I connect with the bliss of all that is. And I feel waves of bliss and love pour out over my body like an energy, and it lifts my light energy up. And that's a kind of meditation where you merge with oneness. And that has a great purpose, and it's wonderful. But, you know, 20 minutes of that, and I'm kind of like, la, 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 la. This world that we live in, Chandra Das, is so oppressive and so harsh that I talk to Michael and say, where can we go today? I can't imagine only limiting meditative practices just to being with oneness. It's wonderful. I do it all the time. I do it every day. It centers you. It refocuses you. It gives you energy. It helps you, be as a light being, be as loving as you can be in everything that you do. It helps you with all your relationships, and it's important. But if anyone ever told me that was the end of meditation, I would say, no way. I'm doing lots of other fun things. What use is it to be in the body with if you can't experience getting out of the body? That's fun. That's the only way I have in my life of being a child again. How do you think I go back to the stories about systematic rape and all of our money being stolen and all these horrible things and actually sit here and talk about the truth day in and day out? And how do I sit here and really wait with love until it's just the right moment for decloaking and know that I'm at one with all the world? It's because I've gone back and had an adventure and remembered that this planet is more than just, it's so much more than what we've been told. And rediscovering that every day in meditation is fantastic. I wouldn't do it any other way.
One of the things that Maharishi always used to say when I first learned meditation was to capture the fort. So that, like, instead of chasing diamond mines, it's that the basis of the meditation is that samadhi, that inner stillness, or be still and know that I am God. So, you know, that's just the emphasis of what I sit to meditate. That's usually what I don't, you know, ask for anybody to sit with me other than my Guru Dev or my guru. So it's like, I just want to be nothing, and I want nothing at that moment. But then, as meditation progresses, these cities or the gifts of the siddha start to develop spontaneously, and it's happening as a planet now, which is amazing. I'm sitting here in Fairfield, Iowa, which is the home of Maharishi University, and they have 2,000 siddhas, 1,050 of which are Vedic pundits from India who practice the Graha Shanti, and they take responsibility for that deep inner stillness. So, you know, the density of the planet is decreasing because of the Maharishi's, he calls it the technology of the unified field, which these assemblies have a powerful influence to allow meditative practices all over, no matter what your technique, to flourish, so to speak. You know, we as a human race. So, I'm amazed at the whole shift as we flow on the waves.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, and I'd like to bring up a few points. You know, well, some people tell me I can't meditate because my spouse misses me. They want me to watch TV with them in the evenings. And I say, well, make up a space that's just your own. I said, when I wanted to, you know, quote unquote, get away from my family, in other words, you know, if a mom is sitting on the sofa, the kids are running around, they're going to find a reason they need to talk to you. And I said, well, I would have a bath every night. And I would shut the door and turn off the lights and light a candle and go in the bath. And that was a room where no one would come in and talk to me. And that's how I got my hour to meditate at night when the kids were really small. And some people say to me, well, you know, I don't see anything yet. And I think one of the easiest things to visualize is maybe flying. You know, you can visualize yourself flying over a river with mountains on either side, and a lot of people will be able to visualize that. And then as you get past flying, then you can do other things and just practice with it. And, you know, I know that you, I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like you practice, you have some aesthetic practices like sun gazing and eating light and that sort of thing. And I practice those things too, but I came to them from a roundabout way. I didn't come to them as a pursuit. I came to them because I was meditating so much. I fell into it. I didn't want to eat anymore. I became lighter because I was spending less time in my body. I came at it from a completely roundabout way, but it still had the effect on me.
Yes, like I say, it's like there's nobody out there but you. We're all each other. It's amazing. Like I say, the effect of meditation is just so far-reaching. It's amazing.
Chandra Das and Beth, I'd like to put my two cents in.
Yeah.
I was going to say that William David taught me as a mentor that there is something called Eastern style meditation and then there's Western style meditation. And the Eastern meditation is passive and goes within. The Western meditation is active and produces actions in the world. And what Beth is talking about and what you are talking about is East and West converging in your meditations. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. That's why the infinity sign is an 8 on its side. And every time you get to the center point, where those loops go out, that's the inner Eastern meditation point in the center. And when there's loops that go out to the east and to the west, or whatever you want to say, from one extreme to the other extreme, it's coming from the center heart inside, and it's activating things in the world. And so it's an inner and outer consistency in life. So my whole life is a meditation. When I'm and when I'm within, I set the tone within.
I agree.
And when I get up and do things, I do things in that same samadhi state in the world.
Yeah, always. Yeah, in the East, they say if God came to you during your meditation, you just keep going. You know, you don't pay attention to him.
I'm completely the opposite, Chandra Das. If God comes to me in my meditation, I sit down and have tea, and I interview him, and I say, what do you think about this or that? I love that. It's so much fun.
And what I have learned from coming from so many different realms is I understand that piece where, you know, like what was shown in the little Buddha, where, you know, various beings came to distract Siddhartha as he was doing his meditation under the tree. And in one scene, they even showed a nuclear bomb going off, and it did not affect his meditation, or Indra showing up, or other beings. He not once blinked. And at the same time, yes, I have done what you described, Beth, where I sit down and I chat with these folks, and like, what's up in the zoo, dude? And...
You know, Ashtar taught Rama a little something, Chandra Das, because, and I know Rama's told this story a number of times, but
yeah,
he ended up on the bridge, and, you know, and then he didn't want to go back.
No, I sat down on the bridge, and I just was, I got so adamant at a certain point, because it was like, right.
I'm not going back down there. You go down. I'll take care of the ship. You go.
This was during the first Gulf War, and I was going up and down almost every day in the physical, and then I would go and work at my 8-hour job restaurant position.
Where, yeah, all night long he's bailing people out of burned out, bombed out buildings in Iraq, and, you know, getting them into the sick bay, and they're asking him while he's helping them out of their misery, are you an angel? And
for all intents and purposes, I would have to just say yes. I am an angel, so are you. Come on, let's go do this. And, you know, never mind what happened to...
And yeah, they don't forget it either.
No.
Not
so
anymore.
What's in a name anyway?
What's that?
I said, what's in a name anyway?
Of course.
One God, many names.
And the other thing that Rama used to do at the beginning when he went up on the ships at the beginning... He used to kneel down before Ashtar, and Ashtar wouldn't talk to him. He said, get up and look me in the eye. I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, there's no guru games here. We are equal, Commander.
No false humility appearing real.
Right.
And that, what happened to me and during the first Gulf War, it got so overwhelming watching all the different killing going on, that at a certain point I just sat down and I started sobbing on the bridge, and I just said, I can't go back. They kill people down there.
Right. That's what I'm talking about, Chandra Das, when I'm saying I have to have more fun. You know, last summer, Mark and I didn't get to go on that cool trip with Tar and Rama to see Sri 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 Swami Purna, and I said to Mark, well, maybe if we ask permission, we'll get to speak to him on our own. And we did. We asked him if he wouldn't mind, can we speak to him? We want to meet with him on the New Jerusalem, and he did. And then another time we went into meditation, and we went up to the 352nd dimension, and we were surprised because he saw, you know, he came to us, like you said, if God comes to you in your meditation. And he, you know, he threw his arm up, and I said to Mark, well, that's something to see up this high. You don't see that very often this high up. And we went over to see who it was, and it was Sri Sri Sri, and he said he wanted to talk to us. He saw us up here. So I think both ways are cool, and they're both good. But, you know, I wanted to mention that for everybody. That's another thing you can do in your meditations. If you want to go with Michael and then, you know, call an ascended master to speak with you, if you're good at hearing, that's another fun meditation to have. You can go to these interplane ashrams and learn all these new things and ask them any questions you want. And that kind of enlightenment is fun, too.
Yes.
Yeah, like you were saying, you mentioned earlier mind chatter. That's sort of the philosophy of the Zen. You know, they say, you know, if God came to you, it's just mind chatter. You know, it's just like, oh, okay, because it's, you know, like a gross level of existence compared to where you could be in samadhi or whatever. But it's all important. That deep silence is the basis of all activity. And the more people that do that, it creates a field, a frequency field of... So it's more subtle than an atom, you know, like you say, and being able to go to the size of an atom. And that silence is the basis of the whole creation. So it all supports, in some way, it supports our endeavor for peace, yes?
Mm-hmm. Have you done that in meditation? Have you gone down to the size of an atom and tried that?
Yeah, there's several processes. And I was in the dome meditating one time where I felt, where the bottom fell out, like stillness was like five floors above me. I was like in utter quiescence, and then my smile became the smile of the whole nation. I was smiling for the whole of the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have these sutras. One is compassion, and that sutra spontaneously came while the bottom fell out of my meditation, where I felt like I was like, you know, 108 floors, you know, dropped from the 108th floor of the Sears Tower down to the sub-basement, and the bottom fell out, and I was just like in the stillness of absolute, utter quiescence. And then a smile came from that utter quiescence, which felt as though I was invincibly protecting our whole nation with that one smile. It was like the smile of Shiva, which is all-knowing, and at the same time it has the innocence of a child. Innocence and all-knowingness simultaneously, which is, you know, that's the mind of Shiva, you know. It's like, you know, the mother, you know, you're with the mother. You've come home, so to speak.
Mm. Indeed.
And it's just indescribable ecstasy the other times when I had Shaktipat from... you talk about triple Sri. I have my guru's double Sri. I don't know if you ever met Sri Sri Ravi Shankar.
Yes.
Yes.
I've seen him in your videos you posted.
Yes. Now, he is in concert with Kundum, he created the International Association for Human Values. He and Kundum founded that together, and they're working together on all these projects, and 20-some million people have benefited from the Sudarshan Kriya, the breathing technique that he teaches all over the world. And he graced me with some kind of Shaktipat that just blew me away and gave me a sense of Brahmananda for days and days. I was walking around in this, where the veil just dropped, you know. Like,
cool.
You say, like walking through a, you know, like you say, one of those portals or a Stargate, where you're just like, your cells are like ecstasy beyond like the experience of 10,000 orgasms, but not in your genitals, but up above, you know. It's amazing, and tears of gratitude just flowing down my eyes. Amazing.
In all the cells of your body, and especially your heart.
Oh yeah, it was a complete blast of, you know, it's like my whole life became a prayer at that moment. It was like 30 years of meditation, all that samadhi that I talked about was nothing compared to the ecstasy of that gratitude or something, you know, something more powerful, and all the angels are like cheering me on or something like that. So anyway, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar has just like blasted me with this experience of Shaktipat, and it's amazing. Like, But he also teaches that I'm not bowing down to anybody but myself anyway. So,
yeah.
Like you say, there's no guru.
No guru. You're the guru.
I am the guru.
That's it. Thank you, Commander.
Yeah, but the guru is a principle of all of life. Our first guru is our mother, you know. She, you know, without right. the help of those who know, none of us would be anywhere.
Or even without the help of those who think they know, because our parents thought they knew what they were doing, and they really didn't. And the amount of fear had gone so far past the ability for, you know, the angelic realms to withstand what was going on, that when children come into the world, we know they come before our parents. So actually the child was leading the parent. And I remember that from the time I was born. I actually remember that I said, oh my God, where am I? And by the time I was 3, I realized that I had been the one that was in charge. And by the time I was 4 and 5, there were so many complications going on in my parents' lives that they used to just depend on me to keep the energy in a certain place. Mm-hmm. And you can feel that at a deep level. And the last 3-4 generations have had to do that because the fear was just too much. And ever since the bomb, ever since Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, that is, you know, without the ones who chose to experience before the bomb, we wouldn't have their wisdom and their knowledge and their depth of that experience in order to really get more passionate about what we wanted to change. And that's what really happened in the flower child generation. The flower children, well, that was me. I was post baby boomer. I mean, I was 1947. And that memory was not there because the nuking literally dispersed the memory of everything that happened before that. And that was good. This is where you can say, okay, now we're seeing the goodness in that. And then, of course, Ashtar put his foot down. He said, that ain't going to happen again. That's it. We gave you a long, you know, a long leash, and you took advantage of it. And now we're reining you in. And from now on, we're supervising you guys. And in 1964, they even signed an agreement with the Star Nation people. And even at that, they didn't follow through. And so then there was another meeting with the Star Nation people in 2005, and instead of the representatives of the 64, which was Kissinger and Mao Zedong and Nikita Khrushchev and Queen Elizabeth and all those fun folks, we had the King of Swords and all of his men meeting and representing. Why? Because we, the people, actually said so. We, the people in the world, had had enough input about the truth that we knew that we needed to checkmate it enough so that they could come back and renegotiate who would be supervising the planet on the ground, and it was the King of Swords and all of his good men and the people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now is the time to know that, and what did Ashtar say when Rama and Tara met 4 days before 11/11, when Diana and Priya were channeling together, and Ashtar was in there, and Saint Germain, and Archangel Michael, and Lord Sananda. And when Ashtar came through, he said, okay, you guys, you know, hats off to you guys. You're members of the Ashtar Command, and you're the ones that decided to get down there in 3D where it was dirty and dark and people
and they were killing everybody, was killing each other.
Right. Like Robin said, hey, Dad, what's the matter with you? Said it means this. And he said, you guys volunteered.
Yeah.
You guys volunteered.
Don't get a lot.
Oh, my God.
And they actually said that you guys are the ones that are doing this from the ground. Hats off to you guys. Mm-hmm. This whole thing, no more of this. It's actually not okay for people to get into a position of feeling like they're not God and Goddess. And that creates nothing getting done except taking a pass. In other words, just like Barack Obama said to the House and the Senate, to the Dems and the Senate too, and he said, hey, you guys, both Republicans and Democrats, first of all, you guys Republicans, it's not okay to say no to everything. And you Democrats, it's not okay for you to do nothing and just think and just sit on your laurels as if you're Democrats. And that means it's okay to be Democrats and sit on your and but not govern. Ain't happening.
No, you gotta be. You can't be neutral on a moving train.
That's
Howard Zinn's
autobiography. Yes.
You have to move with the energy.
And you're in charge. Because you said you would do it.
Yep.
That's the kamikaze warrior commitment on this planet. Thank you, Chandradash, for bringing that topic up, because this is where East and West has to converge now. It has to be.
Yes.
Yeah, active meditation and passive as well. Open and, you might say open to change from within, and then it's possible on the outer world. As you perfect your ability to go to that samadhi state from within, then you are the world. The world within you is the world, and that's the law. And therefore, the rest of the outer illusion drops away because the law prevails on earth, and it's the law of love that you are. I pass the talking stick.
I don't know you guys. we've been going for 3 hours, and it's, what do you guys think? 4 hours might be a lot for a Wednesday night, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should wrap this up.
I think that would be good, because we're going to have another download and a half in the morning. The news just won't quit.
It is. It's just getting faster and faster and faster, and we have Mother Sekhmet tomorrow.
That's right.
I will put the new meditation out on the blog. I hope some of you guys enjoy it, have fun with it. And
Beth, I forgot. I'd like to read one thing tonight. It's not
be absolutely fine, Tara.
It's only one page, and it's Solara's surf report.
Oh, excellent. Oh, we're not do it anyway. Sorry, Solara.
No. She just said that we can't go.
We're not supposed to forward it in our emails. She never said don't read it on the radio.
That's correct. She just doesn't want you to put it on the website.
No, I won't do that. I promise.
No, this is perfectly fine.
Okay, good.
Okay, we could strongly feel the energies of last year's full moon in December 31st for about a week before it occurred. This month, the same is true. The full moon energy started several days ago. These do not feel like the same heightened energies of our usual full moons. They are much more concentrated and potent. They are laced with monolithic shifts.
Oh, my God.
Embedded in a blanket of deepened stillness. See what I mean, Chandradash? You brought it up.
Yeah.
During this time, many of us are experiencing a strong sense of unreality. This feeling of unreality is not located where it used to be, in the present moment. Instead, the sense of unrealness has moved to everything outside of here and now. It is as though we are sitting on an iceberg of realness, surrounded by a vast sea of unreality. There is a profound sense of shifting worlds as previously unknown sectors of our new map, capital N, capital M, are being revealed, which we created, everybody. We created the new map by doing the work, and now it's here. This is strongly affecting the area of our wildest dreams. The fulfillment of our wildest dreams is already occurring, yet they are not the wildest dreams that we have known. Instead, these are our off-the-map wildest dreams, the ones that we did not know existed until the very moment as they manifest into our lives. The confines of time are rapidly dissolving. This causes us to become ultra unpinned. Yet, amazingly, we are still able to function. It's an amazing thing. Not like before, though. Yet with a new smoothness and with a new ease. Night and day do not delineate our activities anymore. You can say that again. Instead, we are plunged into the endless, eternal river of no time, that constant, timeless flow. No thing exists beyond the present moment, and it stretches out forever. There is the sense of starting to see something wondrous that we never knew was there. We can feel it, yet cannot define it. An expansion of our perceptions that changes the very fabric of what we thought we knew. An almost effortless releasing of the ancient pains of the past. A shifting of our internal templates that allows more and more levels of our true self to emerge. It is as though waking up from a long dream to find ourselves in a totally new environment that has unexpectedly inserted itself right in the midst of our old one. 2010 is an absolutely brilliant, beyond our wildest dream year. It is full of quantum breakthroughs, far beyond our present imagining. The key to experiencing this is where we position ourselves. We cannot hold on to any sense of smallness. We cannot hold on to our fears.
Mm-hmm.
Yet as we set our coordinates to emerging as true ones, this year is full of unprecedented fulfillment on the deepest level imaginable, and everything will be surprisingly easy and fun. All the while, we are riding a massive creative surge that is just barely beginning, with you all the way in pure heart love, Solara.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Lady S.
If what she's saying is true, it sounds something like rejoining our galactic family and declaring the Sara Law. Now, that could all be fun.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what it is, Lady Master, by whatever name you want to call it.
I'm more excited about seeing the family. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Well, you're not waiting anymore. She said they're already here, so let's get on the boat here.
I want them here with no veil.
On TV, hey?
I want them on. I got a backstage pass.
That's funny.
I will talk about it in 10 forward.
Okay, thank you.
I got an idea because it's Chandra Das. He was talking about the sound of silence. Why don't we go out by playing the sound of silence?
Okay, we can do that. That's a great idea. But I forgot to say we have another person on the line.
Yes, okay. Earl.
Earl.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Earl.
May I have the talking stick?
Please.
You know, I was just thinking about an experience that I had been with young. I was at the dentist's office getting some dental work done, and I don't know if I was dreaming at the time. Maybe I was out of bite, but I don't know. But I can remember, floating around the doctor's dentist's office, and when I got back into my body, I think I was able to see him doing the work. So it was like seeing the inside of my mouth. It was weird.
Hey, Earl, so what I hear you saying is, like, you know, did the dentist give you some laughing gas and then you were able to leave your body?
Maybe that was it, but, man, it was something I really remember. Like, it just stuck with me, you know.
That's pretty cool. So, Earl, I don't know if I ever asked you, but do you meditate regularly?
I've been trying to do. I've been doing it at night and getting healing at night, and it's
good.
Just awesome.
Good.
It's just. Oh, I've been meaning to email you something that Sarah and I wrote up on about what's been happening.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I know you guys are working hard on projects, and it's really exciting. Please email me everything that you're doing, because I think you guys working together is fantastic.
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, we have this linking connection. Like, she has a writing background. Like, she's written, like, manuals and all that, and we're even talking about writing a sci-fi book I've been thinking about for the longest time, you know. And this whole galactic stuff has really broadened and expanded what I could do, like what could happen, you know, so on and so forth. But the experience of my healing is like, every time it happens, I'm like, Rama, oh my.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Earl, you guys working together, all the ones on the Galactic Roundtable who are really active and encouraging each other every single day, you know, we're all a part of this same soul family working together. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's just awesome. When I was watching that video from Project Camelot, there's almost two sides to when Carrie, when she interviews, there's almost this believing, but then there's this whole part with her where she's almost disbelieving of what she's, you know, interviewing.
Well, Earl, what I noticed when Carrie was asking questions, I was a little relieved. She seemed to know a little bit on the topic, enough to ask him more in-depth questions that I think some interviewers wouldn't have been savvy enough to pull some of the information out of him the way she did. And I think when she asks questions, like any good interviewer, you know, she'll pose it in a way that will try to draw out the truth. And she'll make her questions sound like she doesn't believe, but she's just trying to get him to answer the question in a more in-depth way to make the interview better for all of us, I think. I don't know if it reflects
maybe
on what she believes.
maybe it's just the way I'm seeing it, you know.
Well,
but
I'm not
anyway,
sure.
I have the talking stick.
Thank you, Earl. Thank you for calling in. It's delightful to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I have a voice to be heard.
Yeah. God bless you, my dear. I agree. I concur, Commander.
You too.
Tara, I don't know if you have that piece. You guys can pull that up now. I think we're going to sail on out of here into our sweet dreams, into the magical kingdom.
Yes, it's time to ride our banshees.
Going home.
Okay, Rama, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, push the button. I love you, everyone. Namaste. See you tomorrow.
I love you. Namaste.
Love you. Thank you.
Paul Simon, I Cry Funko.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Because a vision softly creeping left to see while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, beneath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold again, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never shared. No one did disturb the sound of silence. Fools that I hear, silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms and I might reach out to you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell. And echoed in wells of silence, and the people bowed away to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed its warning. In the words that it was for me, and the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls, whispering the sound of silence. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon and Garfunkel.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you, Seth.
And Maria.
Thank you, Seth and Maria.